Thanks, Bobby. Coming up on 8:15 here on this Wednesday morning, Carl and Rebecca with you. And joining us right now, as he does every Wednesday about this time, Bill Hall, the real estate guy from Premier Homes and Properties, which sponsors this portion of the program. Officially, good morning, Bill.
Good morning, Carl. Good morning, Rebecca. It's so nice to see Rebecca here. She's very seldom here anymore.
Well,
Alec takes up too much space.
That he cannot help.
And plus, Rebecca looks better in a bikini anyway.
Absolutely. Well, thank you.
Right.
Not that you would know.
Right. On either part, Alec's or yours.
Yeah, that's right. Thank you. Thank you very much. Both of those can go settle into the sunset now while we move forward here. Yeah, Bill talks to us once a week here about buyers and sellers opportunities in Northeast Tennessee. And I guess one of the big questions continues to be, how is our inventory right now across the tri that we see here in Northeast Tennessee?
You know, it's interesting that that's the number one question people ask me. If I go to the grocery store or any place I go, that's number one. How's the inventory situation? And, you know, when you look at, we look at inventory lots of different ways, but one of the ways we look at it is a month's supply. Mm-hmm. Like how much month's supply, if sales stay the same, inventory stay, you know, continues to pace at its pace, what's a month's supply? And that varies according to price point, but one thing that's remained about the same is anything below $100,000. Mm-hmm. In Johnson City sits at about 30 to 45 days on the market.
Yeah.
And that's including the time that it takes to close it. You know,
so we go from
contract to close. Well, when we put it under contract, it's not really sold. It's not sold till it closes. So sometimes the closing will go a 30, in most cases it's 30 to 45 days out, depending on if they get a loan, what type of loan, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And then when the sellers are going to evacuate the property or leave the property, you know, so the buyers can move in.
So that's the sub 100, right?
That's a sub 100, yes. And it hasn't really changed much. I mean, it's, the prime has been 1.4 month supply in the 200 to 300 price range, but it's not that way anymore. It's creeped up to 2.4 month supply. So we picked up a little bit of more inventory in the hottest price points, which is the 200,000 to 300,000 category.
So the higher number you cite is the greater number of particular homes, right?
Yes, yes. Okay. I mean, as a percent,
right.
and anything over $1 million is really stagnant. It's like a year and a half on the market right now. I mean, there's not a big market here. And we do have a market for $1 million homes or million plus homes, but it's just not as strong right now as it has been in the past. And we're seeing a little bit of falling back on that. And that maybe has to do with the increase in the mortgage rates. So we could continue to see in 2023, that's going to continue to escalate. I mean, the Fed's going to have at least two more increases in the Fed rate.
Quarter point apiece, you reckon?
I would hope.
Yeah.
God, your lips to God's ears, I would hope, is a quarter point, but no more than that. And that's going to happen this year, and that's going to further put people out of the price range of houses. Then, of course, if you look at this other factor, which I look at, it sounds morbid, but you look at the birth and mortality rating, and in that case, our death rate is higher than our birth rate. And, you know, that's not good. That's as a country, we're looking at that. And if you look at it as a world, the world in most cases is that way too.
Right.
So, you know, so it's been a real challenge for the housing market. But of course, the mortality rate, only should add more housing to the picture down the road. But it takes 20, 30 years for that to catch up to itself. So it's really not a huge factor other than it just shows there's a shift for the future.
I saw a statistic over the weekend, and you touched on this briefly in conversations in the past, but to the germane point of this, the statistic was that roughly one quarter of American homeowners have a mortgage right now that is lower than 3%.
Oh, for sure.
And that, of course, is complicating things massively because they don't want to leave a really sub 3% mortgage deal to pick up one that's 7, 6, 7, 8%, you know, moving forward.
It's the biggest deal.
I could imagine.
Having a lack of homes out there for the population is the big deal, but that's a 20-year problem that we've got ourselves into slowly but surely. So that's not a quick fix for that one. But as far as people willing to get out of a 2 and 3 point, you know, mortgage and get into a 7.5, it doesn't sound very desirable for anybody at any age group, anywhere to me. And that's really, you're right, Carl, that's been the biggest holdup because we have a lot of mortgages sitting below the current market rate for mortgages.
And so you, a pro, a pry bar, a crowbar, you're not going to get those people out of those mortgages.
No, because they can't afford it. In a lot of cases, people can't afford it. I mean, you got to figure something. They're getting beat up when they go to the gas stations. They get beat up at the grocery store. They get beat up with insurance. They get beat up with taxes. They get beat up with everything under the sun. And now you want to beat them up with a double their mortgage payment? Uh-uh.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they say no, and I don't blame them.
As someone in the business, how do you fight that? How do you counteract that?
You have to determine what their availability is.
Okay.
To pay it back. Mm-hmm. They have to determine that. I don't have to. And what their need is and which one outweighs the other one. Because that's really what it amounts to. People understanding that, you know, that buying a house today is going to cost twice as much. If it goes down, you can refinance. Yeah, but does it? No, it doesn't. So, I mean, it's not going to go back down. I mean, we may, if we're lucky at the end of 2023, this year, see 6% mortgages. But right now we're not.
So the field is just kind of moribund. It's really not going anywhere.
It's stagnant water.
Yeah.
It's really stagnant water, and nobody likes stagnant water. I mean, it's not good for my profession. It's not good for our local economy. It's not good for anything. I mean, jobs and housing are the two things that drive, you know, local economy, and it's not doing either one of those.
Folks come to you, Bill, and say, "I've got to sell the home right now within the next 6 months." What are their reasons? Why have they come off the fence? What are reasons that people are, in fact, going ahead and putting their homes on the market? Is it job transfer? Downsizing? What?
Job transfers, estate sales, relocation is a big factor. Somebody I know just put their house on the market in Mountain City, a good friend of mine, and it's just something that they've been holding on to for a while, and they said, well, I might as well get around to put it on the market and put it up for sale, and they have, and we're trying to get that sold. The price of real estate, because it's sitting high. In fact, if you look at, you know, how real estate is compared, the median home sale price has compared to wages, it's been since 2018, we haven't had a balanced market in that respect. Wages and home prices have not been the same since 2018, and now they're sitting way off. I mean, we're sitting at a huge disparity between the wages going up and houses prices going up and what they've gone up.
Since. And that imbalance is not good for the market.
No imbalance is good for the market. A balanced market is really good, where we have a 6 month supply of homes. Everybody has a home that will fit their needs, and that's not happening right now. So people are having to settle for less and pay more.
Given this situation nationwide in the real estate market, what about new home construction building into something that is a question mark?
Well, I think the builders realize, and I know that they do, they're a lot smarter than I ever thought about being. So they realize that we're undersupplied as a country, a huge amount of homes. And so even if they continue to build, unless they just go crazy, which they can't because there's not enough demand for them to go crazy right now, they're going to have to offer incentives and so forth and come down maybe on some of their prices in order to get people to buy these new construction houses. And they are giving people incentives. Some are better than others. Some houses are better than others. But yeah, the builders are trying to fill that need, but they just can't keep up with the amount that we were so undersupplied. You remember something? Almost immediately when COVID hit, every millennial decided they wanted to buy a house.
Yeah.
One third of our population in the United States says, we want to buy a house. Well, guess what? We don't have enough houses for them. Okay. I mean, we didn't know you guys were going to all come here that day and come shopping for houses. There's just not enough of them. Mm-hmm. So that's been a real challenge. And it's going to be a challenge going forward.
So Bill joins us here and tells us about the state of things in Northeast Tennessee right now. The inventory situation can certainly be better, but it is easing a little bit, right?
It could be. And home remodels, you know, one of the things that is a big deal for me is to, you know, to talk to people about aging in place. That means aging in your home, having your home modified so you can age in there and live in it as long as you can. And I think that's really good. And as a realtor, even though I make my profession by selling homes, I really make my profession by giving great advice to people. And that's really what I care about the most.
Mm-hmm.
And so aging in place, getting your home remodeled, fixing it up the way you like it. Maybe there's something about it that you don't like that you thought about selling it. Well, I should think about keeping it, and let's get a contractor in there and see how much we could get as far as just doing a remodel and get a home equity loan and do a remodel and pay it back slowly, you know. Mm-hmm. So there's lots of benefits out there. There's lots of things people can do without having to sell their house and buy a new one. Now, if you have to buy a new house, of course, I want you to call me. If you, or any house, call me and let me at least evaluate it so you're not buying into something that's going to go down. We don't want you to buy a depreciating asset because you overpay for it initially.
Yeah.
You have to be able to follow that and know your numbers, of course. That's always a big thing.
What's that number to call you?
Easy. 530-7077 is my office number, and my cell number is 423-946-7575.
Now, that 946-7575, that's the one I always call when I try to reach you, and generally, either you answer live or you get back to me within 5 to 10 minutes.
I do, because I think it's important. If somebody wants to get a hold of you, they want to get a hold of you. It's not just a game we're playing here, and I certainly keep my voicemails not never full, so if you have to leave me a message, do it, and I'll call you right back anyway.
Do you take text?
I take anything. I take Visa, MasterCard, Texas, anything.
Right,
as long as the bikini, as long as I don't have to wear a bikini in here, I'm good. I'm good.
That's the final word from Bill Hall, the real estate guy with Premier Homes and Properties. Always a lot of fun. We'll talk to you next week.
I can't hardly wait.
All right. Thank you there.